Nga mihi o te rā. This is Radio New Zealand National. I'm Catriona McLeod with Midday Report for Friday, June 22nd. In today's programme, a police officer is found to have been driving too fast during a fatal car chase. Two Paremoremo prisoners are refusing to come down after escaping into an unused tower. In business, more arrivals and fewer departures help lift migration in May. And in sport, Finnish driver Mikko Hirvonen leads Rally New Zealand in Waikato. First Radio New Zealand News. An independent police conduct authority report on a fatal police pursuit in Auckland has found a police officer was driving at unjustified speeds of up to 150 kilometres an hour. Api Kauawe, who was 33, died after losing control of his vehicle in Mangere 2 years ago. He was more than twice the legal blood alcohol limit. Bryony Sowden reports.
A pursuit started when Api Kauawe was seen driving dangerously in a residential area. Less than a kilometre into the pursuit, the driver crashed his car into a steel pole, killing himself and seriously injuring his two passengers. The Independent Police Conduct Authority says the police officer reached speeds of up to 150 kilometres per hour in a 60-kilometre speed zone. It says the risk to the driver, police and the public when travelling at that speed outweighed the need to stop the vehicle. However, the report says Mr. Kauawe was prepared to risk his life and the lives of others. The authority has made only one recommendation, that the police officer be reminded of the risks of pursuing at such a high speed. In Auckland, Bryony Sowden.
The Corrections Department says two maximum security prisoners at Auckland's Paremoremo prison have escaped up an unused tower and are refusing to come down. The General Manager of Prison Services, Jeanette Burns, says the prisoners escaped from the exercise yard this morning, but it's not clear yet how they managed to get up the tower. Ms. Burns says the tower, which is an old sentry post, is within the prison grounds and there's no possibility the pair will escape. She says it's unclear what their intentions are.
At this point in time, we have no intelligence to say that this is a protest. It's probably that they're being more of a nuisance.
Jeanette Burns says she can't go into details about how the prison will get the pair down for security reasons, but generally in situations like this, the prisoners get tired and hungry and come down of their own accord. The police say they've been involved in an accident in South Auckland which involved a fleeing driver and a member of the public. All the police will say is that the driver, a police vehicle and a member of the public were involved in a road crash on the corner of Mahia Road and Great South Road in Manurewa. The ambulance service says one person received minor injuries, but the police won't say who was hurt. Police say one man who had 18 outstanding arrest warrants and a woman have been arrested. Three bodies have been pulled from the sea after an asylum seeker ship capsized in Indonesian waters north of Christmas Island, and it's feared dozens of others have also drowned. But authorities are still hopeful more survivors will be rescued. The ABC's Stephen Jedgetts reports.
There's an intensive search in the waters where the boat carrying about 200 people sank. 110 survivors have been found, including one 13-year-old boy, but three bodies have also been pulled from the water. The Home Affairs Minister, Jason Clare, says more people will have drowned, but some asylum seekers may have survived in the warm waters by wearing life jackets or clinging to debris.
There are more bodies out there. The focus, though, continues on trying to save as many lives as we possibly can.
Mr. Clare says Australian authorities first got a distress call from the boat on Tuesday night and again on Wednesday morning, but advised it to turn back to Indonesia because that was the closest land.
Stephen Jedgetts. The Environmental Protection Authority has confirmed it is giving consent for the building of a major motorway north of Wellington. The planned road, known as Transmission Gully, would bypass the coastal area north of the capital, where narrow roads produce notorious traffic bottlenecks. The Transport Agency says today's decision means that while the road can now proceed to construction, it will still have to go through the funding process. The Gully project has been criticised by many environmentalists for favouring motorways over public transport and adding to greenhouse gas emissions, but Wellington business and political groups are applauding the decision. In a dramatic move, the global credit ratings agency Moody's has downgraded 15 major international banks and financial institutions, citing their exposure to the European debt crisis. Funding costs are set to rise around the world as the banks concerned are likely to find it harder to borrow money commercially. The ABC's Elise Morgan reports.
15 global banks have had their ratings slashed. They include the Royal Banks of Scotland and Canada, Barclays and HSBC, Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Moody's says exposure to the worsening European debt crisis was the chief cause for the downgrades, but also the fact that these banks' defences to market volatility are weakening. Some of the banks, like Citigroup and Bank of America, are now just one notch above junk status.
Elise Morgan. This is Radio New Zealand News to 6 minutes past midday. The High Court in Wellington has heard from the parents of Ewan McDonald, the man accused of murdering the Fielding farmer Scott Guy. Mr. Guy was shot dead on his driveway nearly 2 years ago. Cherie McQuilkin has been at court.
Marlene McDonald told the court about a telephone call from her son on July the 8th, 2010, telling her and her husband about the death. She said Ewan McDonald was crying and saying he was unsure whether Mr. Guy had been killed or committed suicide. Mrs. McDonald was also asked about whether she'd seen dive boots at her son's house. She said she'd seen one dive boot in 2008 used to hide a door key, but nothing following that. The police found the prints of dive boots at the scene of the killing. At the High Court in Wellington, Cherie McQuilkin.
An Otago woman says the staff incentive scheme offered by the Accident Compensation Corporation is to blame for her poor health and financial state. Official documents reveal some ACC staff have performance targets linked to the number of claimants who are rehabilitated and moved off their books. Lorna Milton reports.
2 years ago, Rebecca, who's asked for her surname not to be used, was assessed by ACC and told she was fit to work 30 hours a week rather than the 15 she had been doing. She says she was shocked by the decision and believes the staff incentive scheme is to blame.
It's pushing people off ACC that really needs more rehabilitation and help. You know, they're living day to day with their injury and just left.
But ACC's chief executive, Ralph Stewart, is defending the incentives offered to staff.
No one can leave ACC unless they're rehabilitated first. There's two clear steps. Rehabilitation step first, leaving the scheme second. It's not the other way around.
He says since November, the number of long-term claimants has dropped by 1,200 to 10,400. Rebecca says being taken off the scheme has had a devastating effect on her life.
I've had to sell a lot of things. Emotionally, it's pretty tough, especially when I've got quite a few working years left and yeah, just feel that I'll never get ahead because I can't work more than 20 hours a week.
Advocacy groups are calling for a review of the cases of everyone taken off the scheme in the past 2 years to see if those decisions were justified. This is Lorna Milton.
The Department of Labour is still waiting for a report on the methane gas found at Huntly East Mine before it considers when work can resume. Solid Energy suspended coal extraction at the mine on Wednesday night after a build-up of the gas was discovered. Managers and mine inspectors were due to meet this morning to discuss when production can start again. The Department of Labour says the prohibition notice will be lifted once the report on the incident is received and discussed, and it's assured ventilation throughout the mine is working. In the meantime, maintenance and other work underground will continue. The chairperson of the Whanganui District Health Board has confidence in the three women's health options being voted on today. In February, the Whanganui District Health Board put forward a plan to move all specialist maternity care to Palmerston North Hospital. The DHB has since hired two more obstetric and gynaecology specialists, so now has three options to consider. Option one is essentially the plan initially proposed in February. Option two, to retain specialist care in Whanganui while sharing staffing responsibilities with MinCentral. The third option would also retain specialist care at Whanganui Hospital, but leave staffing to an external contractor. Kate Joblum says she's happy with those possibilities.
The clear message we got from our community was they wanted us to be able to offer 24/7 secondary maternity services out of Whanganui. So the options that are there before us, well, two of them anyway, enable that to happen.
Kate Joblin of the Whanganui DHB. More arrivals and fewer departures have led to New Zealand posting a small migration gain in May. Statistics New Zealand figures show long-term arrivals outnumbered departures last month, with a seasonally adjusted net gain of 160 people. That compares with a net loss of 800 in April and a gain of 250 in March. The Government Statistics Agency says the number of migrants to Australia has fallen slightly from record highs, while migration to and from Christchurch has returned to pre-earthquake levels. Meanwhile, visitor numbers held reasonably steady in May compared with the same month in the previous year, rising just a tenth of a percent due to more visitors from China. The company running the Auckland building site, where a security guard was killed last year, says legal action against it over the death would be premature. Charanpreet Dhaliwal died of head injuries after being assaulted on the first night of his job. The firm that employed him, CNE Security, is being prosecuted by the Department of Labour for failing to provide a safe workplace. The Council of Trade Unions says the charges should also be laid against Fulton Hogan, which contracted CNE Security to guard the site. Fulton Hogan's Chief Operating Officer for Infrastructure, Robert Jones, says the company complied with all its legal obligations when it took on the security firm, and the matter is being handled by the department.
We have provided them with all the information from when we engaged with the security firm, and I think it's now for the Department of Labour to decide if there was anything problematic with that.
Robert Jones of Fulton Hogan. The government says thousands of grandparents tasked with raising their grandchildren will now be provided with practical support. In Auckland today, the Minister of Social Development, Paula Bennett, launched a parenting program budgeted to cost $600,000 a year. Amelia Langford reports.
Ms. Bennett says grandparents often have a tough job looking after grandchildren who have suffered abuse or trauma and been removed from their parents' homes. She says the program will be available for up to 5,000 grandparents raising children to help meet those challenges.
Let's be honest, the kids are changing, the teenagers change. Some of the experiences that they have had can lead to challenging behaviours, can lead to some of those difficulties. And so I wanted to do my small bit in trying to provide some assistance and help in that.
Paula Bennett says the initiative is not a panacea, but a positive way of providing grandparents with support. She says it includes a 9-hour DVD that will allow them to work through the program at home. About 10,000 children are currently being raised by their grandparents or members of their extended family. This is Amelia Langford.
The mayor of Whangarei, Maurice Cutforth, says he's not concerned by a poll showing a majority of people don't want a Huntut Vasa building in the city. The Whangarei Council is set to approve the $13 million gallery envisioned by the late Austrian artist Friedrich Huntutwasser when it adopts its long-term plan next week. A survey of 450 people commissioned by a councillor with doubts about the project has found 62% opposed to it. But Maurice Cutforth says the same survey company predicted a close-fought battle when he ran for mayor, and he won in a landslide.
And while the town does belong to the ratepayers or the people who live here, I think that the council's job is to make a decision based on all the facts that they've been given over a long, long period of time. And I am quite confident that councillors have made the right decision.
The Whangarei Mayor, Maurice Cutforth. The National MP Tol Henare says he's been editing his Wikipedia page but has no idea whether he's been blocked from doing so anymore. Reports on a blog and Twitter say the List MP has been blocked from making further edits. Here's our political reporter Kate Gudsell.
Tol Henare says he edited the page because it was factually incorrect. He says he edited his name, his grandfather's parliamentary history, and a statement which alleged he'd been a member of a former Māori political party.
My wife was having a look on Wikipedia. She came across it. She said, hey, this is not right. And so I had a look and I said, oh, well, I'll just fix it up. I didn't think it's a big deal.
Tol Henare says he was just helping Wikipedia get things right. And he hasn't tried to log back onto the site, so doesn't know if he's been blocked. And he says if he has, he doesn't really care. From Parliament, Kate Gudsell.
And the headlines in Radio New Zealand's Midday Bulletin. An independent police conduct authority report on a fatal police pursuit has found a police officer was driving at unjustified speeds of up to 150 kilometres an hour. Two maximum security prisoners at Auckland's Pareremoremo prison have escaped up an unused tower and are refusing to come down. Three bodies have been pulled from the sea after an asylum seeker boat capsized in Indonesian waters, and it's feared dozens have drowned. And that's the news.